All right, following up on something that came up earlier in the week that kind of got lost in the Nets news mess, as it were, is the fate of Nick Claxton and whether or not he is actually going to be back here for the Brooklyn Nets. New reporting has come out that suggests maybe that's not going to be the case, and maybe the Nets aren't as motivated as we once thought to re-sign Claxton. We're going to break all of that down, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, the Brooklyn Nets, every single day. Thank you for making us your first listener of the day, free and available on all podcast platforms, free and available on YouTube as well, where those numbers continue to climb. Really appreciate everyone making the Locked On Nets podcast your first listener of the day. I am Doug Norrie, covering the Brooklyn Nets here for Locked On. My co-host Adam Armbrecht, not in the building today. He's had a ton of draft duties on Thursday. Big moving up in the company, moving up over there at Mr. Adam Armbrecht, becoming a wheeler and a dealer. He had a ton of stuff to do for the draft, so going to roll this one solo. I'm Doug Norrie, owner operator of DFSR.com. If you need projections for anything like FanDuel or DraftKings, go and check out DFSR.com. Got you covered over there. Point of note here, recording this prior to the draft, you know, it was one of these weird timing situations where obviously the Nets don't have a draft pick. So if they had, we would have just waited till after the draft pick to record the episode. But with the Nets not having a draft pick and no real word that like that was going to be something that they traded for in the draft. If they did, then we'll jump on and do an emergency podcast afterwards. No worries there. But we're just trying to think at it and plan it out ahead of time, thinking, all right, Nets don't have a draft pick. Going to definitely watch the draft. Super interested in what some of these teams do. Some of them, you know, some of it seemed like it was kind of foregone conclusions in some spots. Some still question marks. There's already been some trades that have happened. So pretty exciting time of year. But just like if I'm not mentioning draft stuff, this is because this was recorded prior to the draft so we could enjoy it and watch it and see how the rest of the NBA landscape started to unfold on Thursday evening and into Friday. Did want to touch on something that we talked about, that we kind of teased earlier in the week, and then the Kyrie Irving stuff came out, and that got backburnered and backburnered and backburnered, as it should. You know, a guy like Kyrie Irving and his fate and his future with the Brooklyn Nets is always going to take precedent over just about any other story short of a Kevin Durant story, really. So it makes sense that we had to push this one back. But we had talked about wanting to get into some reports early in the week, late, you know, over the weekend, late last week, early this week, about Nick Claxton and what the future might hold for Claxton here in Brooklyn. Because there was some reporting, not from the Nets side, but from Jonathan Fagan, who covers the Rockets on the beat, had come out, and the Houston Rockets, excuse me, and had mentioned earlier that the Rockets might have interest in Claxton. And we know that Claxton is up for a new contract here, restricted free agency. The Nets do have the ability to match contracts for him. Some signs seem like that was going to be the plan for them, but as always, money is the thing that talks, you know, more than anything else. And if a team is going to offer more than whatever the Nets intended to offer, then we could see Nick Claxton move on and become part of a different team. And there hadn't been too many rumblings of this. You know, it's sometimes hard to figure out where the value for these guys is. We talked about this with Bruce Brown last year, and frankly, Bruce Brown this year as well, is like trying to figure out where the Nets value these guys, how they're valuable to the overall structure of the team now and what the team is trying to do, and then how the rest of the league values them. And that's a very difficult thing to get a handle on. Teams are not going to tip their caps often around free agency stuff, unless it's to maybe head fake or if it's just to like, you know, send a real clear signal to everyone that this is their intention or whatever. But it's not typically in teams' best interest to lay out their free agency plans and lay out their exact dollar values for every single player ahead of time, because why bother? I mean, they know it, they can offer it to the players, and then they can move on. It doesn't make sense to put that out in the public sphere. So when Fagan reports that the Houston Rockets were interested in Claxton, it did kind of raise some eyebrows and some ears, because this would be kind of like started to be a real threat to the idea that, one, other teams in around the league value Nick Claxton at a level that maybe is beyond what the Nets can pay, and that they might actually be willing to do something about it. So he reported that though the center class is pretty deep right now, I'm going to paraphrase some of the things that he said, they could offer the full middle-level exception at $10.5 million to Claxton, and that would be maybe something that would be palatable for the Houston Rockets as a team. That seeing, see Claxton's maybe some upside there, see that he could maybe grow along the same age curve that they have for some of their young players. They're obviously a completely young rebuilding team thanks to jettisoning James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets season and a half ago. And so that's where the Houston Rockets stand. And then you start thinking to yourself, well, okay, you know, does this make sense for Houston? Do they want to go up over $10 million for a guy like Claxton, who's still, pretty raw? We haven't had tons of, minutes and games out of him so far. I'll go through some of the stats later on. But when you start to think about the kind of team, and Adam and I had discussed this before, but when you start to think about the kind of team that might be interested in Nick Claxton, even a little bit on an overpay, this actually kind of does start to check some of those boxes. Claxton's only 23 years old. The Rockets are a very young team. They don't have to have it like work out perfectly at this number. They can dream on the upside. They can play him maybe backup center, or if they wanted to try to pair him with Sengun or something like that at times. Like there's a lot of reasons a team like the Rockets could be talked into something like that, or would just be incentivized to make this kind of move. And this was a little bit of our concern when we talked about the free agent landscape heading into this summer, was that a guy like Claxton, because of his age, because of the raw abilities, because he has flashed certain skill sets that can entice you on a basketball court, and for good reason, that a younger team would kind of say to themselves, hey, he's young, we might be getting a little bit of a value here. Like, we might be able to develop him in a way that the Nets weren't. Maybe we get the ball in his hands a little bit more. We get him a few more shots than Nets. Nets basically just wanted him to rim run and block shots and switch on defense. And like, that was kind of what they wanted to do. We know that when, he was in college, he displayed an offensive skill set that was more than what has shown for the Nets. We saw him gain significantly more comfort over the course of this season when he actually was able to play more consistently. And we saw him start to grow, even to the point where I thought, some of those playoff minutes were really, really good. And maybe the Rockets are looking at that and saying, hey, if we can keep this guy healthy, he can be either a stopgap at center for us, or he can be something like that we flip later because we increase his value, or he's just part of our, sort of a nucleus of a team at a not too bad of a contract going forward. And there's, like I said, with these like young teams, I think Claxton is kind of just the kind of guy you maybe take a risk on. Maybe, you try to pry him away from Brooklyn. You overpay a little bit because you say, hey, maybe he's worth a little less than this now, but give us a year with some development and with some other young stars and have a game that looks a little different than it did in Brooklyn. And all of a sudden that contract starts to look really good. So I can definitely see that. I want to go through some of the machinations about why this also might be in Houston's, like where they're sort of looking in terms of, sort of their overall growth. Going to get into that, get into some of the Claxton stats too, talk about what the Nets might be thinking when it comes to re-signing him. Talk about all that in a second. First, boom, shakalaka, we got big news. The one and the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1-Ups, the leader in home retro arcade games, is not only bringing back the best game ever, but they made it bigger than ever with a, wait for it here, Shaq Edition machine. It's one of the first games ever, this NBA Jam, to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. If you're like me back in the day, NBA Jam was the absolute starting point for when you wanted to get into some, good, ridiculous hoops action. No fouls, no free throws, no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards that makes you more connected than ever. You can pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date. So you got to get in there now if you want to get it by September from Arcade 1-Up. They got more classics too, Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and others like this, all starting at just $3.99. Awesome addition to any place. They're giving away right now too an NBA Jam Shaq Edition to a Locked On listener. You have to enter for a chance to win a game console for that man cave. Go to arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com. NBAJam.com/lockedon. You got till July 8th to enter to win the NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. That's arcade1up.com/lockedon. Okay, so why is Houston maybe like sniffing around here? Why might they want to throw some dollars in to be able to on a tax, excuse me, not that taxpayer, just a full mid-level exception on a guy like Claxton? Well, first off, now look, I'm doing this before the draft, so I don't know who they ended up drafting. Okay, so I don't think that really matters too much for like the what they think about Claxton. This report came out when they already knew where they were drafting. They're drafting third. It seemed like all accounts that they were going to take Banchero. I'm doing this pre-draft, so I'll amend this a little bit. I don't think it matters when it comes to Claxton whether this was going to be Chet or Banchero or whoever else, or Jabari. I mean, like, I'm not sure where they're going to go. It's going to be one of those three. The odds seem to suggest that that's going to be the order. But I don't think, one, that that matters. And then, two, you know, they had made a move about a week ago to trade Christian Wood. They traded Christian Wood for a draft pick in this year's draft. They got a bunch of spare parts like Boban, Trey Burke. I think Sterling Brown was in there as well. The plan is to trade all those guys. It was just kind of a salary dump to get rid of Wood, get an asset back in a first-round pick. Dallas takes some upside and dreams that maybe they can pair Wood with Luka, and that like looks like a pretty dynamic offensive pairing. We'll see, but the point is that Houston now has vacated a spot at center that they can also fill. Now, look, center is a pretty easy position to fill. It's a deep position. The landscape of center has changed over the years. It's not nearly as important to like just have a huge rim protector as part of your core makeup for a team. It clearly helps if you have a super dynamic center, like a la Jokic or an Embiid or something like somebody like that, who's an offensive just powerhouse. And like Embiid is amazing on defense too. But short of those guys, unless you want to just call Giannis a center, which I mean, he basically is, but I don't think anyone thinks of him like that. Short of that, when it comes to traditional centers right now, the landscape is much different than it has been in previous years. They're not as important, especially the deeper you get in terms of playoff runs. They're typically like they need to be elite at defense. They can definitely be on the court, a la Kevon Looney, a la Robert Williams, guys like this. Like, it's important to have really good defensive centers. It's not totally critical, but it definitely helps. I think Claxton does fit of the mold of a kind of guy that can play and close out playoff series for the most part. We know about the foul shooting was pretty rough, but Houston's not on a playoff kind of timeline right now. They're not worried about making the playoffs. They're not worried about taking a playoff run. They've been very clear. They've been in the tank. They want to get draft picks. They want to try to get better for the future. They're not trying to compete right now. It's why you can kind of take a guy with maybe raw upside and raw skill sets like Claxton and try to form them into something else. But when it comes to what they need for their team right now, you know, they've moved out Christian Wood. They have Alperen Şengün, who looks like he's going to be very, very good. He's got a totally different skill set, like really good footwork, really good passer, can score under the basket, can stretch the floor a little bit. Not saying he and Claxton compare together, but like, why not, if you're Houston, take the risk on some? I don't even think it's that much of a risk. I mean, $10 million is kind of a lot, but for a team like Houston, the risk factor is way lower than what it is for the Nets. And so what do I mean by that? Like, why can Houston kind of overpay here and the Nets can't? See, the Nets have such limited dollars at this point and such few avenues with which to get better, specifically through free agency, which they really can't, that having these guys already on the team and being able to re-sign them is something of an advantage, because they simply, it's going to be too hard for them to walk out onto the open market and grab somebody else. Now, maybe center is a little easier to do that. If the center market is just a little fuller, is a little more robust, or just deeper, maybe robust is the wrong word because it suggests like crazy upside. If it's just a deeper position than some other positions, then the Nets might look at it and say, hey, a couple min contracts, you know, veteran minimum stuff, can get us by at center for kind of what we're trying to put together as a team, and all good. But it does become scary because you think, well, one, like Houston, if they can pry a guy like Claxton away, who I think can have real value on this team. We saw Claxton within that Celtics series be able to play lots of really quality minutes. If you go back, look at the on-off court stuff for that series, Claxton played 98 minutes, sat 94 minutes. they were just about net neutral in terms of net rating with Claxton on the court, which is crazy considering how many free throws he missed. I mean, he basically missed, I can count it up, a gajillion free throws in that series. It wasn't the difference of the Nets winning or losing, but it certainly didn't help. But for the Claxton to miss so many free throws over the course of his playing time and still have a net rating shows you, and by the way, free throw, that's correctable, especially for a guy like him who I think the form is there. But like, that's a totally correctable thing. So you think, okay, he played like, you know, basically neutral minutes in for a decent stretch against a really good Celtics team that went to the finals. Like, that's not even something you need to squint and see it. That's just a guy who just straight up just did it. And so I think, you know, from that standpoint, the Nets have to look at that and say, hey, he's definitely worth something for us. Like, there has to be a number that we want to be able to go to. Because we're in the tax, it becomes really hard because not every dollar is one-to-one in and out, right? Like, I think there were 4X on every single cap dollar that they put in right now for any player. So a $10 million player becomes around a $40 million player because of the tax. That number is like a little skewed, but and maybe it changes a little bit with the cap, but I think that's basically where we are. That's where they were with guys like Dinwiddie and stuff last year. So Houston doesn't have that same kind of problem. So, you overpay a little bit. They have an opening at center, and now you can kind of say to yourself, well, hey, this is like a guy that can kind of fill that gap. And there's a world where even if he's not on our timeline, but we give him a decent amount of playing time and he really shows something, we can flip that into somebody else later. Because it's like that becomes possibly a really tradable asset later in a way that maybe the Nets are just never able to develop him into. Because it's been a struggle for them to develop him so far, right? Like, he's missed a ton of games. He only played 15 games in his first season, 32 in his second season with one start. Last year, he played 47. He got 19 starts. You know, the stats were okay. Overall, like, the field goal percentage has increased. He was much better about finishing around the rim. Obviously, I just told you about the free throws, which were a much bigger problem in the playoffs than they were during the regular season. He shot 58%, which was actually an improvement over the year before from the line. And actually, it was his best number of his 3 years of his career, sample sizes being pretty small. So, man, this is weird. I don't know. Like, I'm at a point where, you know, I know the Nets, you know, Nets folks out there are going to say, hey, spend anything necessary. We know how some of these Nets streets roll when it comes to spending. Everyone wants everyone to spend every single last dollar. We want it to be, you know, not spare any expense. Okay, you know, Joe Tsai is a billionaire. We shouldn't have to be worrying about pinching pennies if we're trying to win a championship. Like, I get all of those comments that have come through so far around when it comes to the Nets and free agency. I totally get that. But it's like, that's not a realistic business proposition either. We haven't seen signs that the organization is willing to do that either yet. I mean, they have gone into the tax 100%. So they have spent, but they haven't really floated this like spend at every means necessary kind of station yet. There's been really no signal around that. Like, they've spent when it comes to the superstars. They've ponied up that money, not Kyrie, obviously, right now, but that might be for different reasons. But there hasn't been this sort of like, hey, we're going to just throw it all up there and we're just going to spend whatever it takes and we'll bring back everybody. Like, there hasn't been that kind of sort of marching order among what's happening with contracts. So it does have you start to worry about what happens here with Claxton, because if there are other teams interested, and I think this is a real interest in terms of where Houston is, I don't think this is posturing. I don't think this is just to get the Nets to freak out. I think this is just like, hey, we're interested in this guy. I think you have to start really worrying about Claxton. I want to talk a little bit more just about the Nets, like, youth movement or lack thereof, because I find it interesting if Claxton were to not come back. We'll get into that in a second. First, talking about our friends over at betonline.net, your number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. You find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, news. You got the NHL playoffs going on right now. You got MLB rolling every single day. I love using BetOnline for the odds over there. BetOnline's your continued source for all your sports wagering information. They got live betting, esports, and more. MMA, boxing, golf. It's all there at betonline.net. Head on over to betonline.net today. You can learn about all the trends and all the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we'll close it out here by just like a general thought around the Nets and youth. Okay, so when you're on a championship, when you're on the kind of the timeline that the Nets have been on, okay, one, they started this timeline with like not really having that many draft picks. That was, we covered that with the Sean Marks sort of retrospective. that they just haven't had tons of draft picks because of everything that happened during the Prokhorov stuff. And like they were just kind of having to piecemeal together things just by kind of glue and duct tape and making good decisions along the way. If they were to lose Nick Claxton to restricted free agency here, it would be he's basically the last player that they drafted outside of last year's draft. And they're not going to bring in any guys. Okay, again, with the draft this year, short of something I missed here. But he's the last guy that they drafted that would still be that is still on the team right now before the Cam Thomas, Daron Sharp, Kessler Edwards, David Duke group. That's crazy. That's last year. There's no other draft picks from this team. Claxton's the only one still on it. The rest of the team is just made up of guys they brought in through free agency, guys they brought in through trade, guys who are kind of like old. Everyone's except for Simmons, I guess Bruce Brown too, pushing up and over 30 years old. And so the Nets really haven't had anything like a youth movement, but it's become so startling around how few guys that they are just have drafted and then brought all the way to the finish line. There's nobody on the team right now. Nobody through the draft that they've been able to do it. Now, look, some of that is circumstance. I said they did not have as many draft picks as everybody else. That's just the long and short of it. If you have fewer draft picks than everyone else, then you're going to have less of a time to be able to develop those draft picks because they don't exist. But it's so weird to think that Claxton, if he were to move on and move to another team and get paid, good for him. But like, if he's able to get a lot more money than the Nets are willing to give him, dude, go for it. Obviously, we're team, you know, pro get what you can get. Like I've every single time, if you have the ability to go get more, go get more. Anybody in their regular life would do the same. Anyone who tells you differently is lying. So the Claxton being able to go and command a significantly higher dollar value from a Houston, the Nets are willing to do it. 100% he should do it every single day of the week. But the Nets would be left in a situation where, again, they're going to have nobody that they've ever developed. It's going to be this one group from last year because it's going to go another draft this season where it's not going to happen. And then no seasons before that if Claxton were able to lose. Or if they lost Claxton in free agency. Sorry. So it's just a really, really interesting thing that's happened with the Nets. And I know it's funny about when you root for a team and when you follow a team, because part of that is like sort of the timeline of spending lots of years with players, right? Like most other teams outside of a few have a group of players that the fans have been with for lots and lots of years. Like they got them in the draft, they've developed them, they've seen them get better, they've seen them, you know, struggle, whatever it is. There's like a buy-in. You kind of understand the ups and downs of what the player has gone through. But the Nets are just in such a weird space right now where that's just simply not the case. And it's like showing through the ranks of their team by just being like this aging group of players that basically all just came around within the last year and a half outside of Joe Harris. I mean, well, year and a half, 2 years, two plus years. And so it's just a really interesting situation, one that is not going to change for the Nets anytime soon. It's just they're just not going to get younger. We're going to go through a long stretch here of kind of just seeing a lot of guys coming out, a lot of attrition, a lot of movement in and out of the team, because that's just the way they're built right now. They don't have any other way to get players. They're not really, except for the group from last season, the player development is kind of been ground down short of just trying to develop guys that you are, you know, trying to rehabilitate some of their careers or try to make them better than when you got them. And they have examples like that. Like Joe Harris is an example like that. Bruce Brown is a clear example like that. These guys that other teams just simply, Spencer Dinwiddie was like this too. These guys that other teams just simply didn't want, couldn't see it for whatever reason, didn't get the time, didn't get the effort, didn't get the energy from the organization, just needed to mature, needed to get better at basketball, whatever it is. The Nets have been able to have those guys. Those guys felt like the young guys, the youth for so long, but they weren't draft picks. They weren't guys that like the Nets scouted and then drafted. It was guys that, you know, came into the league and then were kind of, you know, journeymen and looking for other places to be able to go, or other teams just weren't able to recognize it. So it's a really interesting scenario with what's happened here with the way the Nets are built. And I'm curious what fans think about that, because it's just like a very different rooting experience than a lot of other sports situations most times. Most times with the team that you root for, you can find lots of guys or gals, you follow WNBA, that you've kind of gotten used to over the years, that you've developed a real rooting interest for, that you've gotten used to seeing in the uniform, that you have, like, you know, wanted to tune in to see kind of how they progress. That happens in almost every sport in, you know, in every major league, in every pro sport at this point. Like, that's just because it can't happen any other way. It's like too hard to build a team just by continuing to go out in free agency. You have to develop some young players at some point. But the Nets are just in this cycle now where that's really either not possible, they don't have the patience, they don't have the vision around it. I don't think it's so much as that. Some of these guys they traded away, like, you know, Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, that they did draft and that were looking like, you know, real pieces. But, you know, in wanting to get James Harden, they felt like they had to prioritize trading those guys, which I still agree with, but that I can understand why fans continually get upset by that kind of thing, because you want to be able to see those guys that maybe you, the team, kind of found later in the draft and was able to develop and able to make better, and all of a sudden they're just not on the team anymore, and then it's Harden, and Harden wants out, and it's super hard to root for that, and then it's Ben Simmons and he never plays. It's just like a really, really, really weird timeline the Nets are on right now. So be interested to see what happens, ends up happening here with Claxton. We'll know relatively soon. The Nets can offer him at the end of the month. Free agency starts July 1st. So once we clear the draft here, we have about a week to be able to start figuring out probably where all these moves end up landing. I, for one, really hope there's a way to bring Claxton back here. I hope it doesn't become just about a few million dollars. I get it. It's not my million, but I really hope that doesn't end up being the case. But reports like this do start to make you worry a little bit that he might not be in a Brooklyn Net uniform too much longer. Okay, going to get out of here. We'll be back Monday to break down the beginning of, like, the lead up to free agency, what we're hearing about where the Kyrie Irving contract is. There were some numbers thrown out about that. So, and there's, you know, God, the dreaded Kevin Durant ask out rumor kind of cropped up through a couple different places. I don't think we need to spend too much time on that without a few more reports, but because I don't think that's on the horizon, but always scary when you start to hear that kind of idea being floated. So we'll break some of that down. We'll get Adam's thoughts on the draft as well, because he was doing a lot of coverage for that. So a lot to cover next week. Thanks again for making Locked On Nets your first listen of the day. Free and available on all platforms. Make sure you subscribe over on YouTube as well. Really appreciate all of the comments over there. Really, the people, I'm just, every morning when I wake up and read the comments, it just gets me super pumped, because everyone just loves talking Nets, and so do we. Helps us bring it to you free every single day just by hitting subscribe. So subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on the pod, for wherever you listen to podcasts as well. We will be back again next week talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.